Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 3, we were talking about the meaning of the word abideth in verse 6. Let's continue with that thought today.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
So again, we're saved from the penalty of sin and the power of sin over us in this life. But we're not saved from the presence of sin. That is why chapter 1, verse 9 and 10 says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. How would he be just to forgive us our sins? Because his blood has paid the penalty. So it's only just when we come to him on his term, confessing our sins, seeking him for cleansing, that he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Again, he cleanses the Christian as well from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Would you call God a liar? If you say you've not sinned, you're calling God a liar. My friend, I wouldn't want to stand before his judgment with that on my record. In him, we're told here, in our text, in him was no sin. He was impeccable. He was sinless. He was sinless in word. He was sinless in deed. He was sinless in thought. And in every way imaginable, he was sinless. And that was the only way in which Jesus Christ could become our Savior. So we see verse 4, the reality. We are all sinners headed to hell. In verse 5, we see the removal of sin by Jesus Christ from all who receive him. Now that takes us on then to verse 6, revealing the evidence of the saved. Look again at verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Now, since we continually come short of the glory of God, what is meant by sinneth not? And one who does hath not, that is the idea of hath not ever seen or known him. Now, abideth, by the way, is like the word whosoever, because there is a false doctrine that is out there today of only some are predestined to be saved. No. How many times does the Bible have to say whosoever for it to be whosoever? If God said it once, that's all it counts. He said, whosoever. There's something you don't understand in another part of the Bible, then you're probably misinterpreting it. Okay? So again, abideth in the Greek is like that as well. That is, somebody that continually dwells with him, lives with, walks with. That's what the idea behind the word abideth is. He continually dwells with him, lives with, walks with, and sins not. The idea is that he doesn't continually miss the mark, but sinneth not. Is not speaking of sinless perfection. or it would contradict what we read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 10. Because there, let me read it again, this time verse 8 instead of verse 9. Verse 8 said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So, many of us, as an example here, believe that smoking is a sin because it defiles the temple. So too would be drugs and alcohol. Gossip. Now, the Bible doesn't use the word gossip, but it does use the word which means gossip, the term, terminology, sowing discord among the brethren. And God calls it an abomination, and he uses the same Hebrew word for abomination that he uses for homosexuality. That's the level that he places gossip on. We could talk about cussing. Again, sin. There are sins of the mind. There are sins of omission. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, we read in James, to him it is sin. So there are sins of omission, not doing what we're supposed to do. That's also called temperate. Temperate, being temperate, is doing what you are supposed to do when you're supposed to do it, and not doing what you're not supposed to do. Now, these are sins I'm mentioning that happen in the lives of Christians when we look at gossip, when we look at some with cussing, sins of the mind, omission, not doing what they're supposed to do. There are sins that happen in a Christian's life over and over. And they may confess and want to forsake them. But the same sin happens again via temptation. Now, whether you realize it or not, the Apostle Paul also fought this battle. Read Romans 7, verse 15 through 25, where he says, the things that I would not do, I end up doing them. The things that I would do, I end up not doing. And he ends that by saying, oh, wretched man that I am. That's the Apostle Paul. Now, if the Apostle Paul had that problem, I'm pretty sure that the rest of us have that problem as well. So when you think, well, no, they're truly saved, they don't sin. Some say, well, they don't sin habitually. Is gossip a habitual sin of some people? Oh, yeah. Sins of the mind? Oh, yeah. What about omission? Church has a visitation. You just don't go. Sin of omission. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together is a matter of some is. You can go and you don't. The sin of omission. Things you're supposed to do and you don't do it. You're intemperate. Therefore, there's the sin. And it happens over and over. So some people say that, well, a person, if they have a habit of sin, they're not saved. That's not what is meant there. The believer has two natures in him. The old remains after salvation. And will until we're taken out of this life. Then that old nature is done away. And we just have life in that new nature. But we remember what he told us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, to, what did he say? Quench not the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 tells us the old nature is in a continual fight with the flesh and spirit. Those are the terms used in there. So, we can quench the Holy Spirit ourselves when we give in to the flesh in that battle between flesh and spirit. And it can even become habitual in some Christians. Because the new nature, spirit, is not dominant. We are not then abiding in him, and we become a branch not bearing fruit, as John 15 says. And some say, as we said, not habitual sin, but these other sins show that it is habitual. So if a person has the habitual sin of gossip that the Lord put on the level of homosexuality or some other sin, does that mean they're not saved? And look, I've had people that I've worked with that have been under my ministry that if I just shared something from the Bible, but it went against what maybe their college they attended had to say. It didn't matter what the Bible said. They were upset with me, and they were upset that I would even preach that from the Bible. Yet, God is always right. Man is always wrong. And get that principle down. In Galatians 5:24, it tells us what to do. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Sometimes when a sin gets dominant, now I've had even preachers in my study that had problems with pornography. And the need is to crucify the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The Spirit works through His Word. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. In Job chapter 31, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? So again, when you start seeing the Scripture, it tells us to set our heart, our mind, our affection on things above. Get them off the things of this earth. There is victory, but you do have to make an effort. You have to make an effort, and God strengthens you to do the effort. You can't do it in your own strength, but you can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Now look at verse 9, and remember verses 8 and 10 of 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When man lapses into sin, it is the old nature. It's not the new. Because God's seed remains in him. But that spirit is grieved and quenched when we don't allow the Spirit to have free course and we don't walk in the Spirit. A Christian must walk daily with the Lord. And if a Christian does not walk daily with the Lord, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 8 tells us that he'll end up getting chastened and scourged by God because the Lord chastens and he scourges his own. Sometimes he chastens by bringing things into our life.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on His firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will plant my